Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is based on the gospel reading in Mark, chapter 1, but there is a correlation to this text in Leviticus 16 as follows. On the first high holy day of atonement for the early Jews, all Israel gathered around the tabernacle, and on this day Aaron, the high priest, entered the most holy place and stood before the throne of God. Much was done just to prepare the high priest for this short journey, and once he is cleansed, the ceremony continued. As it continued, two goats are brought before Aaron. The first goat was the sin offering for the people, so the high priest quickly sacrifices it and collected its blood. He carried the blood through the holy place, past the massive curtain, and into the most holy place. There he approached the Ark of the Covenant and poured the blood out on its cover, known as the mercy seat. In Leviticus 16:16, we read, "So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness." That poured out blood covers the sins of the people before God. And because their transgressions are removed, the Lord remains present with them. Following, the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies and laid his hands on the second goat. With his hands on the animal's head, he confesses upon it all the sins of the people of Israel. By speaking them, he places them on the goat, and now the goat symbolically bears the sins of all the people. He is the scapegoat, given the blame for the guilt of others. Even so, this goat is not killed. The goat is driven out into the wilderness, very far away from the encampment. The goat was then turned loose to live in that uninhabited desert among whatever wild beasts there may be. One thing was for sure, the scapegoat is far enough away that he would never bring this load of sins back to camp. Those sins are gone, figuratively speaking. The two goats of the Day of Atonement had one message for the people, a message of forgiveness. They were forgiven because one blameless goat had borne their sins away into the wilderness, never to be seen again. And they were forgiven because the other blameless goat had been sacrificed so that its blood might be presented to the Lord. Thus, both goats point to forgiveness, which means both goats pointed to Jesus. The Old Testament ceremonial law pointed to Jesus, the coming Messiah. Fresh from his baptism in the Jordan River, the Lord Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. At his baptism, the Lord is baptized, just like all those sinners around him there. The burden of sins of the world is placed upon him. St. Mark says, "Immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness." A world's worth of sin is loaded on Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord drives him into the wilderness among the wild animals, just like the scapegoat. However, Jesus is not alone in the wilderness. Satan uses the opportunity to tempt the Son of God. For 40 days, the wicked accuser tempts Jesus to set down the load of sins and instead opt out for comfort, glory, and power simply by worshiping the evil one, as if to say, "Jesus, you don't deserve this. Let the people suffer for their own sins." But the Lord is faithful to his Father's will. He rejects the devil's attractive temptations and faithfully bears our sins. In doing so, he already defeats the devil. If Jesus does set down our sins, then the devil will gladly pick them up and bring them back to accuse us. Thus, Jesus continues to carry the burden of our sins. Using the passage in Leviticus, we understand that Jesus is not the one goat, but both goats. He goes into the wilderness, but he comes back laden with the sins of the world, burdened with your sins as well. He comes back for the express reason to be a sin offering by shedding his holy, innocent blood while it is poured out on the mercy seat of his cross. Between the wilderness and the cursed cross, Jesus preaches. He goes to Galilee and declares, "The time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus reminds the Israelites, "For centuries you've offered sacrifices to atone for your sins before God, but all those years of sacrifices have been pointed to me, the long-awaited Messiah. The time is fulfilled, and the sacrifice is about to be made." Jesus said, "Repent. You've given into temptation. You've sinned, and so you face the wrath of God for those sins. Such temptations and sins would drive you to despair and death, but it need not be so. Confess those sins for what they are, no matter what they are, and trust in the Christ of God. In other words, believe in the gospel. Believe in the Christ. Believe this, that he has borne your sins into the wilderness, and there he defeated the devil. The devil is in no position ever to carry your sins back to you because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is why you can confess your sins with confidence, knowing that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Who can condemn you now? It is God who justifies you. It is the Christ of God who declares you not guilty by reason that he has paid for all your sins. And God justifies you because Jesus declared, "It is finished." He will not set down the load of your sins. Now that Jesus has beaten the devil in the wilderness by the word of his mouth, he continues on to be the bloody sin offering. He offers the perfect sacrifice to his Father in heaven so that your sins are atoned for, covered with his blood, and gone forever as far as the east is from the west. These are the bookends of Lent, how this season begins and ends. It begins with Jesus, the scapegoat, driven out into the wilderness. It ends with Jesus, the sin offering goat, shedding his blood on the cross to atone for the sins of the world, for your sins. It proclaims to you his passion, the suffering of the Lord, and it prepares you for the joy of his resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. It proclaims to you and prepares you because it is all done for you. You face temptations every day, and you don't resist it perfectly like Jesus does. In fact, it is impossible for you to resist temptations as Jesus did. This is why we should examine ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. There we will see our sins and see that we are all miserable sinners, desperately in need of our Savior. This is why on the first Sunday in Lent, we always return to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. For one thing, Jesus understands temptation far better than you or I ever will, because he was in all points tempted, just as we are, yet was without sin. He does this to be your Savior. This is important, so key to understanding the temptation of our Lord. Jesus does not endure and resist temptation to set an example, to show that it can be done. Too often, this is how this text is preached. Jesus did it, so can you. But born in sin and constantly plagued by the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh, there is no way that you can resist temptations perfectly. If the point of the temptation of Jesus is that you must perfectly imitate him in order to be saved, then you will only find despair and great disappointment. You can't do it. Try as you might. That's why Jesus did it for you, to do it perfectly and to give you the credit for his perfect life. He does this on the way to the cross, where he sheds his blood for you, and by his death, your life is won. Now, the Father looks upon his repentant people and says, "When I look upon you, I don't see your sins, the many times you gave in to temptation and followed the devil's whispers. I don't see any sins because my Son has made the great exchange with you. He's taken your load of sin onto himself, and he gives you the credit for his perfect obedience and resistance to temptation. You are forgiven, because I see no sin on you that you can be judged for. Now that is good news. That's why Jesus goes into the wilderness carrying your load of sin. He resists the temptation of Satan and gives you the credit. Then the scapegoat returns to be the perfect sacrifice. According to 1 John 1:7, his blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You are tempted. Some temptations you can readily identify and fight tooth and nail, but still give in. Others come so naturally that you've sinned before you even know it. So what is that? What is it that you do? You hear the word of the Lord. The time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. The time has been fulfilled, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. My friends, the price has been paid for all your sins. The kingdom of God is near, near to you. The Lord has adopted you and brought you into his kingdom by the forgiveness of your sins. He visits you with this forgiveness by his word and sacraments. Are you tempted to believe that he has not adopted you? Then remember your baptism, because it was there that the Lord came near and made you his beloved child, marking you with the sign of his cross. Are you tempted to believe that the Lord no longer opposes sin? He draws near in his law and declares to you the danger of iniquity. Are you tempted to believe that the forgiveness for you is beyond your grasp? He draws near in his gospel message, declares his cross and forgiveness for you in his words of holy absolution. Yes, it is the pastor who is the mouthpiece of Christ, but it is Jesus himself who forgives you all your sins. It is Jesus who commanded his church through the office of the keys that his pastors announce the grace of God to you all. And it is as valid as if Jesus himself speaks forgiveness to your ears. Are you tempted to believe that he has forgotten you? He draws near to you and places his true body and blood into your mouth, and this for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. Dear friends, the Lord is near to you in water, word, bread, and wine. These simple things are the means by which the Christ imparts grace, mercy, peace, and forgiveness to you. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel of your salvation. Turn from the devil's lies and confess the truth. You can't do it, but Jesus did it for you. You can't perfectly resist temptation, so Jesus did it for you. You couldn't atone for one single sin, so he shed his blood instead, completely forgiving you. God did not spare his own son, but offered him up for your forgiveness. Trust these words. The perfect sacrifice has been made. Your atonement is complete. Thanks be to God. This is the gospel that by the grace of God you rejoice to believe in the fact. You are forgiven for all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And now you may leave here this morning in perfect peace, for the Christ of God has ensured your salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.